house of the Lord this morning.
Mm-hmm. Kaveh, a long journey, stops at a small town to wet his whistle, ties up his horse outside the saloon, and enters. The townsfolk are a bit uneasy about newcomers, so they watch him closely. Makes his way to the bar and orders a beer. Bartender opens the beer, sets it on the table, and tells Kaveh, "I'd be careful if I were you. Townsfolk don't like take kindly to newcomers. They give them a hard time." "Well, you're a newcomer." "Is that so?" Cowboy lazily says as he rests his head on his fists and sips his drink. Bartender turns around, slightly annoyed by the response, rolls his eyes, and he walks away. Cowboy stays a good 10 minutes, finishes his drink, then walks back outside to continue on his journey. When he gets there, outside, he finds his horse to be missing. Cowboy storms back in, draws his pistol, fires a shot at the ceiling. He looks around all the town folk and says, "All right, which of you sidewinders stole my horse?" The townsfolk look at each other, and then back to Cowboy. You can hear a pin drop. "Well, nobody knows," one of the townsfolk finally blurts out. "All right, well, I'm going to go back to that bar and have myself another drink. If I finish that drink, go back outside, my horse ain't there, I'm going to have to do what I done in Texas. And I don't like to do what I done in Texas." Cowboy, true to his word, goes back to the bar, drinks another beer, goes back outside, like magic, his horse is back. He jumps on his horse like it never left and begins riding out of town. The bartender, needing to know, runs outside and calls out the cowboy. "Excuse me, sir, I got to know. What did you do back in Texas?" Cowboy turns around, looks at the bartender and said, "I had to walk home."
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Perception, huh? We began our Christmas series last week talking about waiting. I mentioned that not all of us like to wait. Amen. We like fast food, Amazon Prime delivery next day. We want that. So today I want to talk about journeys. But before I do, let me share one more point that I didn't share last week about waiting. We need to wait in our journey with expectation. Have anybody ever seen The Price is Right?
Really?
You know how to set the story. So The Price is Right, you know, used to be like Bob Barker, now it's not Jim Carrey.
Drew Carey.
There you go. Thank God. Yeah. Jim Carrey, like, Masked Man, whatever. Anyway, Drew Carey now. So they start the show the same way. All of them sitting outside, and then they'll say, the next contestant on The Price is Right, and they'll call the name, and they come. How do they walk down the aisle?
Not caring.
No, they're like, high five when you're... Have they won anything yet?
Not a thing.
They just had the opportunity to win something. And sometimes when we're waiting with God, we just seem to not be too excited about it. We just sort of... But here's the good thing. Jesus says his promises are true. As believers, we don't need to see it. We don't need to hear it. We don't need to have some sound warning. We can wait in expectation for it because God's promise that it will come. Amen? Okay, let me just pick up for today our message, talk about journeys. We're going to begin the Gospel of Luke. It says this in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Caesar issues a decree. And because of that decree, everybody takes off and goes to their hometown to register for what's going on. And for some, the trip was probably pretty easy and short. For others, it was quite the journey. And for Mary and Joseph, to that trip from where they were to Bethlehem was quite the journey, about 90 miles they had to go. And so the terrain wasn't flat. It was like our roads today. Okay, we have potholes. It was, that doesn't work. They had potholes too. But the terrain wasn't flat. It was an easy journey. There was things going on. And to be honest, we don't really know that there was even a donkey. Scriptures that tell us that Mary had a donkey and Joseph had a donkey. I mean, we know Jesus rode into one, but we don't know what Mary and Joseph had. But even if that was the case, so if they did, we really don't know. It still would have taken a better part of a week to get to the place that they needed to go. So for a week, they're on this journey. And one other really important thing that often we forget about their journey, Mary was 9 months pregnant. That's going to make the road a little bumpy already. I wonder sometimes what those conversations must have been like during that road trip. Let's pick up with Luke chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. So the journey to Bethlehem, in so many ways, is not unlike our journey, some of our journeys that we go on. See, the truth is, oftentimes on our journey, God will take us to places that we don't really know where we're going. He just lets us go. And now, I know how sometimes it can be really difficult to go where God leads us when we don't know where the outcome is going to be.
Sure.
Amen. We just don't have any idea where we're going. We just don't know, and we don't know what the outcome is going to be. And we just sometimes it's hard to in that process to go. And it would not have been easy for Mary and Joseph either to go. They would have been bumps along the way, and I dare say, being 9 months pregnant, every bump would have been a big bump.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it would have been just difficult in every aspect, and you know, they didn't know the outcome of their journey. We get the privilege of knowing because we've heard or read the story at least every Christmas time since we've been attuned to Jesus. So we know the outcome story. We know the journey. But when they walked on the journey, they had absolutely no clue where that journey was going to take them. They knew they just had to go have a census. They didn't know what was going to happen. So today I just want to spend a few moments on journeys. Three to be exact. Mary and Joseph's, Jesus' journey, and then our journey as well. But before I do that, watch this.
Maybe you didn't sign up for this, and
You don't think you deserve it? And it's going to take every breath you've got to get there. Might even feel like God's holding your feet to the fire. The fire. It will refine us if we let it. Have I not told you, be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. For the word of God, he is with you, no matter where you go. Friend, no matter how long the road, no matter how many dried up streams we come to, lift up your eyes. Jesus, he always meets us at the end.
Let's just begin with the journey of Mary and Joseph first. Let's consider that. Mary and Joseph's trip to Nazareth, to Bethlehem, was surely a taxing event. It was not something just easy and moving. It was a taxing undertaking. But their journey didn't begin on that rough road. Let's read from the first chapters of two of the Gospels, first from Luke. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and pondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." So this angel appears. That would be enough to get my heart racing already. Amen. And then he says, you know, don't be afraid. And, you know, I mean, I'm thinking, that's already racing. I remember sitting out, getting ready for my deer hunt, and I was sitting there, sitting in a chair with my brothers, as he had, you know, propped up there, sitting in the chair, he had a chair in the woods, buried down, so I was, you know, lowering everything. I'm sitting in the chair. And the first day, I'm out, and I see this. And I was only out to shoot does, not bucks. He's trying to thin out his herd. He's got a bunch of does. So I watched these does go by, and then this little buck's chasing after them. So I didn't shoot them because they're going. Finally, this buck came by, and he's looking at me. He smelled me, and he just stops. He's like, and I'm just trying to, you know, slowly move. You know, guns over here, so I'm sort of picking up, and I'm going to get you. And get, you know, being mannequin man trying to move everything around. And this thing just looks close and takes a couple steps closer and just looks at me and just, and I'm going, my heart was beating. I mean, I'm sitting in the chair like 20 minutes going, and Mary saw an angel. I can just imagine her heart racing. Mine raced just over a stupid deer. She saw a wonderful angel. And so you got that whole process and you got the whole thing. So, yeah, this message comes. You're a virgin, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. You're going to have a son, but it's not your fiance's son. It's the Son of God. And the angel, after delivering that news, and let's face it, that's pretty big news. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Looks at her and says the most guy thing ever. Don't be afraid. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Mary, I think it's already a little too late to not be afraid. And so, first the angel shows up and tells her, and she's expecting a baby, and she's never been with a man. How do you go home and explain that one to mom? And think about it. Scripture doesn't say it, but most scholars believe she was between 15 and 16 years of age. So that's already, you know, she's expecting the baby, not from Joseph. She's 15, 16 years old. Go home and run and not tell mama. Mommy, guess what? I mean, that's kind kind of different. And then Mary, having heard from God's messenger, must now pass news on to Joseph, the one she's engaged to. By the way, Joseph, guess what? I just found out. I took this little pregnancy test and the thing turned pink. I mean, red, whatever color, I don't know, blue, whatever color they turned. I mean, I don't know, but it just turned the color. I'm expecting baby, and he's like, whoa, what? So she had to tell Joseph the same thing. I mean, could you just imagine the thoughts going through her mind from the angel announcement that took place? I mean, what's Joseph going to think? He certainly knows he hasn't been with her. But God had done something beautiful in the midst of that journey toward motherhood. Let's pick up from Matthew, the first chapter of his book, right? It says in verses 19 through 21. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take, there's that word again, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And I love it. I love at the beginning of this whole journey of Mary and Joseph was how that God would just show them and be with them and let them to drop to Bethlehem. The beauty of God showing them just how true and good and loving He is. He looks and says, "This says much as to Mary, don't be afraid. Joseph, don't be afraid." And listen, when God tells you and calls you to something, don't be afraid. Amen? He'll send messengers. He'll send people in the direction He needs to make sure everything works out the way it's supposed to be. And they listen. And they follow. And their journey begins. And at least they knew where they were going to. They knew they had to go to the census. They knew they had to go to Bethlehem and take this. They knew where the trip was. At least going to somewhere take them in the process. But the truth is, church, sometimes God will take you someplace that you're not sure where you're going to go. God will take you someplace where you're just not sure where He's leading you to. And so we still, in those moments, have to learn to trust Him. Still learn to take care of Him and just understand. I mean, He did it with Abraham. Watch this. Genesis. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you. Abraham, in other words, he said, I want you to boldly go where no one's gone before. You don't know where you're going. Pick up your family. Just head. I'll show you later where you're going. That's what He did to Abraham. So we just cannot imagine that God would do that to us. You know, we want our plans all laid out right. We want the blueprint of life all put together. But He did it to Abraham to show him that, listen, you need to trust Me. I know what I'm doing. I've got a plan for your life. And we need to trust Him when we don't see the plan. Amen?
Amen.
And that was the beginning of their journey. But now let me turn attention to Jesus. We have Mary and Joseph's journey, but now we have Jesus' journey. But before I do that, that's something we need to realize. This 90-mile trek from Nazareth to Bethlehem for Mary and Joseph, that trip may have been complete, but their journey was far from over. There was still something going on, and so we're going to pick that from the Gospel of Luke, and we're introduced to the beginning of Jesus' journey. Luke 2, 6 through 7. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. The day in that scripture means Joseph and Mary. That's what it's talking about. They being them, that couple. So they finally have completed their long journey to Bethlehem. And now this baby comes along. Though there was no room in the inn, there was no room, there was this place out in the stable, there was this manger they could go and take care of. And so God is, comes in human form and born in a manger. And Jesus, the Son of God, born a helpless infant to these earthly parents. But The journey of Jesus did not begin there. Look at this, 1 Peter chapter 1, 19 and 20 says this. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, God chosen as your ransom long before the world began, but now in these days, in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. God chose him as a ransom when? Long before the world began. Jesus understood his purpose. He knew his mission was not just be born in a manger and to some earthly parents to take care of him for a few years. God chose him as a ransom long before the world began. And then in Paul's letter, the Philippians, we read this, Philippians chapter 2. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, though he was what?
God.
Jesus was God.
That's right.
He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Jesus came in human form. Why is that so important? Because listen, if Jesus came as God, which he was God, but he said he just, in the scripture said that he, you know, gave up his divine privileges and didn't come as God, he came as human form. But if he came and God dealt with miracles, I'd still be impressed. But when he did it as a human being, when the Holy Spirit could walk through and take and still do the miracles, that lets you know I've got the same spirit that Christ had. That lets you know the same miracles that he did is available to us today. Amen?
Amen.
We don't have to be God to do that. We can do that. But think about that. Jesus, who existed in the glory and perfection of heaven, leaves the throne room, brings heaven to earth in the form of a baby, in the form of this little kid, and chose to embark on a journey that would lead him to the brokenness of our world, where he heals, where he delivers, where he sets free, where he saves, he forgives, he loves, walks on water, turns water into wine. All those things he teaches. And when he teaches, the very crowds he teaches cling to every word. Just, matter of fact, in the temple, they thought this 12-year-old kid, and they're all engaged, they're just caught into his thing. They're wondering, how does he know so much at this age? They just cling to every word. And then the same one that they listen to teach, he finally clings to a cross and dies for you and I. But his journey didn't end there. Oh no, 3 days later he arose.
Amen, thank you.
Now that's a journey. Amen?
Amen.
And why would Jesus make that journey? Why would Jesus leave the throne room of heaven and make that journey? It's that we might know him. It's that we might experience him and have the abundant life that he came to give us. So that brings us to our journey. Jesus says this in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And what I love about that verse is that it tells us, it actually gives us, you know, the reason why the enemy came. He came to what? Kill, steal, destroy. That tells me when the enemy comes after your life, he's not coming to bring blessing. He's not coming to give you hope. He's not coming to help you in any way at all. He is coming to kill, steal, or destroy. He wants to just take all that. He wants to, he comes to steal your joy, kill your relationship with God, destroy your destiny, and to trust God in for your salvation. And if he can get you to believe the lies, You're a rock of the abundant life that God came to give us. Jesus chose to journey among us so that we might have life and that more abundantly. And I think we all would like that kind of life. Amen?
Amen.
So now, let's take it a little bit closer to our journey. Imagine on a hike. You're going through some uncharted territory. There are moments when everything seems smooth, and other times it just gets really rough. And, you know, times it just is beautiful and everything feels right, and there's times that it doesn't so much. There's times that path becomes unclear, rough, and you just, your destination doesn't seem all that close to you. It's really far away. But through it all, you keep pushing on. You keep on persevering. You keep on going, because you know that the journey, when you get to the point, when you get to the destination, is going to be worth it. That's much like Jesus' journey was. He knew the destination, the cross. And because of the cross and the resurrection and the grace that he shows us that brings us about our salvation, he knew it was worth it. He knew that even though it was difficult and though it would not be pleasant, even though it would be painful, he knew that it was worth it. So he traveled it. Hear this, church. God's grace is not cheap. It cost Jesus' life. It was expensive. We cannot afford to abuse it. It's because of his journey that we can have hope on our journey. Heaven sent its very best so that we might have right relationship with God. Wow. And I, for one, am so thankful. I'm so thankful of his love that's unconditional, his grace that is sufficient, and his mercy that endures forever and is new every morning. Hebrews 12:22 tells us this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on who?
Jesus.
The pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's just pause and say this. The cross was not a joyous occasion. It was no joy hanging from that tree. Yet Scripture tells us, for the joy set before him. So is there a contradiction? What made it joyful was that Jesus fulfilled his mission, his purpose. And in so doing, he saw you and I coming in and having the opportunity to come into right relationship with God. He knew the pain. He knew the suffering. He knew everything that was entailed, but yet he chose to do that. And so he willingly endured the pain, the suffering, knowing that sacrifice would bring about salvation for many. And he waited with expectation for those of us who would say yes. And as I mentioned, we have been bought with a price. Amen? And that means even if you don't think you're worth it, even if other people don't think you're worth it, Jesus says you are.
That's right.
And I don't know about you, but I think I would rather listen to what Jesus had to say about me than what others have to say about me.
Amen.
Let me just give you a theological lesson. Is that okay? Let me just give you a little theology lesson.
Sure.
Something I learned. There's something in the Bible that, there's something that is not ever mentioned in the Bible. Something that is never given in scriptures. Any idea what it is? Your opinion. Never given the Bible. Your opinion is not given there. God gives his. That's just the way it is. So it doesn't matter if you may think you're not worth it. It doesn't matter if the enemy tells you you'll never measure up. God says otherwise.
Right.
His opinion on the matter is all that really matters.
Amen.
Let me just get back to Journeys for a minute. Ephesians 1:5 says this. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. That's why he endured the cross. That's why, for the joy set before him, he endured that cross. It gave him great pleasure because he adopted us into the family of God. God decided when? In advance. He didn't just look and say, yeah, you know what? Judy seems like a pretty good person. Let's just plan her. Let her go to court. You know, George, well, he's kind of lost it. Let's just forget him. I mean, He planned in advance to adopt each one of us as his kids. Each one of us, he planned in advance to do that. It gave him great pleasure. Before we're loving him, before we're obeying him, before we're listening to his word, before we read, before we made a single prayer, he wanted to adopt us into his family. I'm so grateful he adopted me, aren't you? I'm so glad I was able to say, yes, I'm ready to be signed the paper where you want to go. I'm all in. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. That's love. Real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. That's real love. John 3:16 through 18 says this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So if we stop at verse 16, we miss the rest. We just stop. For God loved the world that he gave. And it's true. He did. But then verse 17 goes on to say, for God did not send his Son to the world to what? Condemn the world. But to save the world through him. He didn't come just to say, oh, I can't believe you did that. Shame on you. And he didn't do, he did. He loves us. It's the goodness of God that draws us into repentance. He loved us. And maybe you haven't began your journey with Jesus. Just play a little softly for me, honey. Let me encourage you to taste and see the Lord is good. He is faithful even when we're not.
True that.
You can trust Him. And even when your road gets rough, Jesus has been and will be there with you. He will never leave us or forsake us. He's always leading us along the way. Leading you and I to the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Journey has been everything but. I want to encourage you once more to choose. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year. Choose right now, today, this very moment, to begin a new journey with Him. And when you do, Scripture tells us we become a new creation in Christ. So where do you find yourself today? Wherever you find yourself, on whatever journey you're traveling, I need you to know that Jesus loves you. It's not just what He does, it's who He is. God is love. He's for you, not against you. He didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. He loves you that much. He loves you so much that He wrote this in Romans. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. When we didn't deserve it, when there's nothing about us that was like, woo, He still chose to adopt us into His family. Check this out. 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And this is the best part. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that they did not know Him. They never met our daddy. My daddy owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. My daddy's good all the time. My daddy will never leave me or forsake me. My daddy never says he doesn't have time for me. My daddy waits and longs for me to come to the throne room and say, here I am, Papa. Next week we're going to look at our journey, but we're going to have to get started. But as I mentioned earlier, we're on that Christmas Eve, that Tuesday Christmas Eve, we're going to have our Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock at night. So I want to encourage you to invite some friends and family, and so to help us out, check this out.
There you are. It'd be $5. Just tap the card on here, sir. And ask you a question.
Oh. I give you a tip. Oh, no. I'm just, the screen was up. Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Oh, Jesus. Excuse me.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Yay, over.
Yeah. No closing prayer.
Oh, no closing prayer. Okay, except we should pray. We should probably do that.
Sit down.
All right. Let's thank you for the reminder there, Judy. I got a little cut here through the video. All right, closing prayer. All right, that one doesn't work. Father, we thank you for this time together, for the time just to be in your word. Lord, for we are grateful for our journeys. Lord, sometimes we don't know what path we're going to take, or the path that you've chosen for us. We just sometimes have no clue where it's going to lead. Help us to trust you, to lean not on our own understanding, but always acknowledge you if we know that you'll direct our path. Help us, Lord, just to be a light and a beacon of hope in our community, in our church. Help us to love like only you can love. Love others, God, that we can just be an expression of you through our lives. Anoint our lives, God, to just be the beacon of hope to those around us. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. And the church said,
amen. Amen. Thank you, George.
My pleasure. Thanks for reminding.
Yay.